Tonight we'll be in the believer's inheritance. We introduced it on Sunday. Tonight we'll just get a little more into it. It's Ephesians 5:5. And before we get started, let's take a moment to follow our command to walk by the Spirit. And we know that if we do that, we will not glorify the desires of the flesh. So let's take care of that. And we do that simply by naming our confession of sin. And at that moment, we are cleansed from all unrighteousness and able to grow and glorify God in these bodies. So let's pray. Dear Father, we thank you for everything that you are doing in our lives. We know every day is special. We know every day you have a purpose, a plan for us. And we just pray that we can continue on the road to maturity and ask for your understanding, your clarity tonight, and guidance through the word. We thank you for everything that you do for us. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Okay, so the believer's inheritance. If you remember, we kind of made our way here. Like I said, I don't usually plan these things, but they just go in the direction that God wants them to go. So let me start reading from verse 1, just to kind of backtrack where we've been. It says, "Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. But immorality or any impurity or greed must not even be named among you, as is proper among the saints." Verse 4, "And there must be no filthiness and silly talk or coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks." And here's our verse, "For this you know with certainty, that no immoral or impure person or covetous man who is an idolater has an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God." So if you remember, we left off discussing this inheritance. And what's interesting about this verse is that if you're a human being, you're guilty of every one of these things that it's mentioned. Every one of these, immorality, impurity, and greed. And because of this, the question probably comes up in your mind, do I get an inheritance? Well, we need to answer that because we want to know if we lose out, and because that's what the verse is saying. But in order to answer that question, let's understand a few basic points about inheritance in general. I wanted to get this out of the way first. The first thing to note is that each one of us as believers in Jesus Christ are instantly qualified for an inheritance at the moment of your salvation. And I mentioned that Sunday, but it's an important point because it levels the playing ground for each one of us as believers to start climbing that ladder towards spiritual maturity. So there's no holding us back, per se. There's no obstacles in our way. There's just a matter of decisions that we all have to make and come to that point in our lives. Now, another part of inheritance is what qualifies or what the scripture calls the ones that are qualified is heirs or sons of God. Another way it describes us is, well, there's sons of God, and then there's also believers and children of God. That's John 1:12, Galatians 3:26. And there's a verse that I wanted to take a look at. It's Romans 8:16. We'll be here for a minute, few minutes. And it's a little clearer on telling us who is an heir here. Let me read it. I have a slide for you. It says, "The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ." And then look what we have next in this verse. You see an if. Now that's an important word. I know it doesn't seem like an important word, but it's a marker of a condition here in this verse. So it's setting us up to something needs to be done to meet this condition. Now, before we get into this, I just want to let you know beforehand that this is a first-class condition. So the assumption for the argument is true of the condition to meet the purpose or the payoff here. So let me keep going. It says, if indeed what? Well, if we suffer with him. There's your condition right there. And then next we have a so that, which is showing us, usually that's a conjunction, and it's usually showing purpose or result. So we all know the purpose of why we suffer. One of the main reasons is we have to for our spiritual growth. But this is giving us a result or another purpose so that we may also be glorified with him. So the word glorified here means to join together, in this case with Christ. And the word means in praise, honor, and glorification. This word is kind of unique because it's only found one time in Scripture. And, you know, there's a lot of words like this. It's called hapax legomenon. And there's nothing special about them except that they're found one time. They're a little challenging to research because there's not much information on them. You don't have anything to compare to. You can do a word search and you only come up with one result. You can go back in history and try to trace it back in Greek language. Sometimes there's information on it. Sometimes there's not. But the way I see this many times is they're here to show us sometimes something very important, and usually for emphasis. Well, this is the only place this is found. So what does that mean for us? I think in this case, it's showing us that there's a major separation between believers through their free will to grow up in grace and knowledge and to glorify God. And that's what the difference is. And I mentioned that before to you in meeting this condition that this verse is bringing out right here, to suffer with Christ. This is fitting because didn't we just end a series about pain, suffering, perseverance in the faith? And it goes right along with this verse. So, and just look around at the world, at believers, at who you know. It's very apparent that glorifying God in your body requires a positive decision on the part of the believer. We can kind of skip along, you know, glide through this life and not even have a part of this. This takes, believe it or not, a conscious decision to want to drive forward because of your positive volition and meet the challenges head on and be able to apply what we've been learning. That, believe it or not, if you are consistent in what you've been doing, in learning, growing, applying, that's suffering with Christ. You can't get out of the testing because remember, God is going to use you. And if you're prepared in a way where he can use you to the maximum in your life, he will. And he does. And that includes testing. The testing of your faith. So, and you may not realize it or not, but you actually did make decisions to get to that point in your life. You know, it's a responsibility we all think about when we join on in the spiritual life. But it's not really that strong of a push on you. But as you move, as you advance, it becomes stronger and stronger. And you start to realize that the physical things, remember, they become less and less important to you than the spiritual things. And I think that transition of what's important, what's not, and your relationship to Christ becomes, you know, you kind of get the blinders on, and that's the goal. That's the goal. And you realize that suffering used to be way up here, and we didn't want really to have much part of it. But as we learn more and more, we realize that the benefit way outweighs any suffering that we could ever do and to think about not doing it would actually put us at a negative, at a disadvantage, to not grow, to not go through what we may have ahead of us, to not see what God, you know, not go down that plan, that path that God would have us go down. So, and that's why I think we have, well, first of all, this is not something that's automatic when you become a believer. You know that. It took time. It really takes time to come up to this suffering with Him. As you well know, there's a lot of scripture, and a lot of it is geared around just that specific point right there. Specifically, that's why we have a lot of the imperatives that say, glorify God in your body. That's an imperative. That's 1 Corinthians 6:20. How about Philippians 1:29? To you it has been granted, that was that grace given, to not only believe in Him, but what? But also to suffer concerning Him. There's that grace aspect. And then Philippians 3:8, more than that, I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things. Remember, this is Paul. And count them but rubbish so that I may gain Christ. That's the understanding right there. That's, Paul knows it. He understands it. He sees it. And he's living it. And he says, I count everything as nothing if I can just gain Christ. So that's how important it is to us. And that's the process that I'm referring to when I talk about priorities in life. What moves up, what moves down on your list is different for everyone. And it's always related to your relationship with Christ. Paul is saying that this has surpassed the value, everything in his life, the surpassing value to suffering for Christ is above everything else. That's where he's at in his life right now. That's obviously, that's our goal as Christians. If you think about suffering, and we talked a lot about suffering, but many times we don't view suffering as we should. We kind of want to back away from it or stop or take a different path. But the value of not only staying in it, but persevering to come out on top through the gate is the ultimate goal we should all have, because the payoff is huge. It's not about getting out or stepping aside or stopping. It's about what Paul is saying right here. So, and he says that, and may be found in Him. What's interesting about Paul saying may be found in Him is that there's a subjunctive mood there. That means that's only a possibility. Yes, we are in Christ, but Paul in the context is a believer. He's saying so that I may be able to get to that point of a maximum relationship maturity point in my life where I may be found in Christ. And that was another series we did of going through this, all these different things of what it entails to be in Christ. And it's really, I think it's really a personal thing. It's, yes, you are in Christ at the moment of your salvation, but think about that relationship, how much we can expand, how much you can grow, how much it's actually about realizing the resources. You know, when you first start off, you don't really exploit your position like you do when you start to grow and you start to know and you start to see and you say, okay, this is what I have available. I'm going to start to use it. Because remember, you have the power of God Himself on your behalf. That's more power than we can even actually imagine. But if we begin to use that, it does everything that you can imagine and more. It not only gets you through problems, but it expands your maturing process to a point where what was big is no longer big to you. What was a struggle is no longer a struggle. Because why? How can you do that? Because that's the power of God through the Holy Spirit. So I think part of that, a big part of that, is just understanding. And that's why Paul says that I may know him. The key word there is know. The definition of that is to come to know, to recognize, or to perceive. It's used in taking in knowledge or learning, and to learn to come to realize. Isn't that what we do? We learn, we grow, and Paul says, so that I may know him. See how personal that is? When you get to know someone personally, it's a lot different from when you first met them. You first meet them, you don't know a lot about them. You don't know what to do. You don't really want to push your boundaries too much, so you're kind of a lot more reserved than you would be if you knew them really well. You know how they operate. You know how they think. You know what they like. You know what they don't like. Same thing with our relationship here. We want to be in tune with what God likes. What does he want from us as believers? What are we to do? It's amazing that there's so many people, Christians in this world, that exclude these things. In order for us to be locked into this relationship, we have to know the rules of the game, the one who designed it, the author and creator of the game board, life. And he's given it to us. So that's that relationship that we want to come to know. And it's intimate. But as you know, many have really no interest in knowing their purpose or knowing, you know, what Christ or the scripture has to say, because that actually requires time. It requires doing what you're doing right now. You're doing it. That's what you do when you sit down every day and you set time out of your day just to grow, learn about who your Savior is. You want to know more about him. You may have certain days where you may not even want to do that. But guess what? You do it. And that's love, believe it or not. That's a sacrifice on your part. And that's a good thing, whether you know it or not. Because you'll have days, I have days, where you know what? Things get challenging. You may not be as motivated as you are on another day. But it's the love relationship that allows you to stay motivated. Because you know that, just as we talked about before in the song, he loved us before we ever came to this point. And not only has he loved us before, but guess what? He loves us when we're down, when we're discouraged, when we're not wanting to move forward, and he's always waiting to encourage. That's personal. That's a personal thing, because he knows us a lot more than we know him. So he can do these things, and that's really part of the amazing thing about the spiritual life. So that's what we're up here when we're referring to suffering with Christ. And I mentioned that, you know, you can really get into the spiritual life and bypass this. And it really kind of, it's a sad thing, but a lot of people do this because they're not necessarily concerned about serving God. They're concerned about serving people. They're concerned about what you see and what you think of me. And that's the spiritual life for them. Well, newsflash. God has to think a certain way about you as well. And really what people think about you can mean absolutely nothing if God doesn't feel a certain way, and if we're not living in accordance with his word, what does it matter if people look well upon us? Absolutely nothing. It means nothing at all. But think about how many people do that. We've set up a big, you know, image, and we go follow all the steps, mark off all the check boxes, just so everybody thinks a certain way. But it absolutely can mean absolutely nothing. And it's a sad thing, because they're the ones that have to get, you know, go through all that and get to the end of that and realize what they did was actually service, or they were serving themselves. They weren't serving the scripture that I know. They weren't serving what God was telling us to do in his word as far as suffering, persevering, sacrificing myself and doing what I would rather not do for the sake of Christ. See, there's a big difference. There's a big gap in the United States. Everyone's kind of just on that lazy, just walk. I'll live the Christian walk if I can do it the way I want to do it. That's just not the way it works. There's no sacrifice in that. There's no pain. There's no suffering. There's no love in that. What it is there's something that's, it's called the flesh. And it wants to take the easy road and it wants to glorify self. And remember, we talked a little bit about that. I mentioned that word idolater or idols in our life. And that's really kind of a description of that. Maybe theirs is people. It's still an idol, if you think about it. That's taking their time. That's consuming their mind to make them live in such a way that is in accordance with their own set of rules and standards. That's a very dangerous place to be, but guess what that does? That's the kind of thing that religion pushes out. That's the kind of thing that religion teaches you in the pulpit. That is not what we want to know or learn from the Word of God. That is not grace. We're not trying to here just to set an image. We're here to set an example. And the only way to set in a true example without just the whitewashed tombstone is to have it in your soul, in your heart, to be a part of you, to have this love relationship that we've been discussing up to this point. So this is just that coming to know your Lord and Savior in that intimate relationship. So, two different ways out there. Just have to be leery. I mean, you know, we know these things, but look how critical it is. And look how lucky we are. I feel like we're so lucky to be where we are. You know, we didn't get here from our own doing. We didn't get to this point, you know, just by me. God guided you here because you were positive to the Word. And me as well. I don't have much to do about it. I was born. That's about it. And we get here because God loves you and He wants to protect you and He can see that you're motivated to love Him back. And that's important. That means more than anything because you want to live in accordance with His Word. I understand that you like doing this, this, and this, but you say, you know what? His Word is more important to me. And that relationship is more important to me than anything that the world can tell you. And that's an understanding I think we just have to know. And that's also why we have so many commands in Scripture, throughout Scripture, that say, come to know, to grow, to stand firm, to persevere in the faith, and on and on and on and on. Now, remember, I told you that the only reason we have commands is why? Because we may not follow those commands. We're capable of not following commands. We're human. You tell your son or daughter, you give them imperatives, you give them rules to follow, commands, for just that reason. Number one, you want to protect them. God wants to protect us, so He tells us just these things. Come to know Me. Grow. Persevere in the faith. Believe it or not, that's a buffer. That's a protection to you. And it's the same with you telling your son not to touch the fire. Same exact thing. Now, they may touch it, and we may not come to know in accordance as we should. And we do. We fall off sometimes, but we learn, we grow, and we continue to. But see, it's that love relationship of protection built in. And you don't tell them something just to make them mad or just because. We tell them something for a reason. There is a reason behind it. Whether they don't think so is a different story. But there's a reason of why we say certain things. It's because of the protection. We love them. We want to see them grow to a person that is a legitimate person in society. And who knows, they may even have something to do in ministry, right? But you know what? The same thing happens with the Word of God. The same exact thing. Whether you know it or not, you're all in ministry. And I hope you realize that. You don't have to be sitting in a pulpit to be in ministry. Your ministry is your 24/7 relationship. And wherever you find yourself in the public, I guess we could say that's a ministry. So people, welcome to the world of testing with people. That's your ministry. So persevere in the faith. It's huge. But, and as you know, because that is our purpose and our mission as believers in Jesus Christ, that's our objective. But not everyone comes to that understanding or depth within reaching this objective. I think you're pretty deep in going towards that objective. I really do. And when you look around at other people, what do we see? I don't see the depth that I see here. Of course, there's other churches that get down and dirty in the Word. And I think you should. But there's not a whole lot. There's a lot of just skaters out there, just surfing, just showing that image, and that's it. And that's not what this is referring to. Remember, we're talking about inheritance. Inheritance. So we have to remember our objective, and I think you're on it. You know the objective. But there's sadly that some don't even come close. But that's why we have all the commands to protect us from that, just that. He knows what's best. So, and then you have verse 18. It says, "For I consider that the sufferings of the present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us." See, no one really cares about things like this for some reason. And you have to wonder why. There's a reason you do what you do. And maybe you started out as, I just know this is what I'm supposed to do. This is how I was raised, so I'm going to do it. And you know what? That's fine. Because guess what? That got you here. You had enough humility to just keep in the same direction. And before you know it, there was a blossoming of a relationship. At first, you were just following something that was just a set of rules. You thought, okay, I have to do that. But, you know, we come to know and grow, and then we all of a sudden, we realize we're standing on a gold mine. And that's the part of considering the sufferings of this present time not worthy to be compared to what we have to look forward to. Look forward to. That is to be revealed to us. So, and here's a verse that you heard in our series of suffering, and I just want to read it because it fits. It just goes with it. "Consider it all joy," that's an imperative command, my brothers or brethren, "when you encounter various trials." Now, listen, there's a subjunctive mood. When you encounter various trials, that takes that positive decision to launch into where you are now. God isn't going to put you into various trials. I can't tell you how many people I've heard say, "I'm in various trials," but they're sadly mistaken. They're in various discipline from God. You don't get here by just doing nothing. You get here by being a faithful, true believer and growing in a relationship. There's a big difference between considering it all joy when you encounter various trials than considering all joy when you're suffering in discipline. There is a big difference. There's a big difference in purpose. There's a big difference in your life because one, you're on track. One, you're completely off track. So, and that's the reason why you can take a step back and consider these things joy. Because, you know, there are certain times in our lives where we know when we're getting disciplined. You know, we can make a decision and thought, "Man, I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have," you know. Believe me, I know. I'm human. So we can realize when we're getting disciplined. And I think that's perceptive. That's an advantage that you have as a believer. And it keeps you in track. It keeps you buffered to yourself because you have so much truth in your soul, you can realize when we made a bad decision. And that's a good thing. But look what happens when you're in suffering or trials and you've been pretty consistent growing in fellowship. And you can realize maybe it's something that's extended. And you realize and you know the purpose of it. These are the kind of things you can consider all joy, because look at the benefits of these things, what it's doing to you as a person. That relationship is blossoming whether you know it or not. Because we're talking about the believer's decision to advance spiritually, and that's referring to trials here. Verse 3, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. There you go. And let endurance have its perfect result. There's another command. You wouldn't think that was a command, but it says, let the endurance have its perfect result. That's that maturing process, rolling down the, upward momentum of growth. Let it have its perfect result. Remember, we're not perfect, but we know who is, and we know who gives us that perfection of result that we can have in these bodies. That's the amazing part of it. That's that righteousness in you. And let endurance have its perfect result, command, so that, here you go, purpose. But then we have another subjunctive mood. Takes a decision, so that you may be perfect and complete and lacking in nothing. That's a decision process. And you know, sometimes I feel like we can't step out. You know, you've almost come too far where you say, you know too much, you're way too in deeper than you know. You can't back out now, in other words. You can't. You're here. And it only gets better and better. You know, there was some point in your time, you say, what does all this mean? I know I've been learning, growing, studying, and all this stuff. And then all of a sudden you say, well, okay, now something's going on here. Well, you're way past that, and you're here now. And you realize this stuff really does work. It's not just voodoo or black magic. It is the Word of God. And it is alive. And it is powerful. And those things are true. And every word that we read is not just a word, but it's absolute truth that came through the Holy Spirit. It just gets more and more amazing if you think about it. So that you may be perfect, complete, and lacking in nothing. So I said that what qualifies a person for inheritance is salvation. All these things that we're discussing, everybody has equal access to them across the board. There is no excuses. And that's the good news too, right? We always think we're at an advantage. So-and-so's holding up my time. I'm going to this church and they have me doing so much stuff. I'm staying busy. I can't focus on my relationship. The playing board is even. You have decisions to make just like I do and just like the next door neighbor has to make about their relationship with Jesus Christ. Everyone has to come to the realization of what's important in their life. And I think I'm thankful that people here understand that. Because when you go to somewhere and they don't understand that, what's important? Everything else. Everything else. The relationship, the teaching of the Word is on the bottom. What happens is things get really busy. And things start moving and there's a lot of stuff happening and there's a lot of people teaching and preaching the ministry, kids, programs. But what gets lost is that personal relationship with Christ. That's what gets lost. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with any of those things. I'm not saying we can't have any of these things, but it's got to be done in a right way. It has to be done in a right way. If it's not done with this, the Word as the focus, your motivation can't be right in these things, and they'll fall right on their face because we'll get too busy like everybody else. And once we get too busy, guess what we start doing? We start taking time away from the Word, start taking time away from our relationship. And you know how easy that is to do. Look at your day-to-day life. Things will pull you this way. They'll pull you that way. They'll require your time. Things that you didn't even know would come up. Oh, I got to do this. Got to go here. Got to go. it's real easy to lose focus within in this life as far as priorities go. It's easy. It is very easy. And not only that, you're a believer. So God is going to bless you. So He doesn't want you to be distracted. He wants you to enjoy the blessings. See, that's part of the whole thing of growing and realizing and knowing about what your priorities are. That's how you can enjoy going through the suffering that you go through and the testing, because you're being blessed all along the way. And that's part of the fun of it. God gives you, whether it's a little bitty blessing or whether it's a big blessing, there's blessings throughout the day. If you can pick up on them, if you can notice them, you have a lot of blessings throughout the day. They're very detailed, and God knows exactly what He's doing, when He's doing it, where He's doing it, and how detailed it is. But you are well taken care of. You are well taken care of. We are all well taken care of. Do you know how many things that can happen in our lives that we have absolutely no control over? None at all. None. I look around and I think, wow, there are people that are having difficulty after difficulty after difficulty, and they can't see anything else. You have something different. It's not just about difficulty and not seeing anything else but a hard life. It's about a relationship that you have underlying all of those things. That's why you can have the joy that this verse is commanding us to have, because God knows that we have it in us to express. It's just an understanding. It's just coming to that knowledge and that understanding of what we have in us and how much greater it is than whatever is in this world. That's how great it is. So, and what we've seen up to this point about inheritance is that we know that you're qualified at salvation, and then now it involves your volition. We're up to speed on that. So from your salvation all the way up to your physical death, your volition is linked to inheritance. And the verses that I showed you well are very clear of that through the subjunctive mood. Decision is a decision process. And we've seen, or actually, and the question to ask ourselves is not just can I take part, but how much of an inheritance do we want? That's a legitimate question. How much do you want? Because I can guarantee you there's no lacking in the area of God giving blessings, in not only in this life, but also in eternity. I haven't even included the doctrine of rewards in this, but that's involved in this as well. Remember, that's what separates you from some other believer, is rewards that you get in heaven. That's all part of that inheritance. So we need to ask ourselves, how much do we want? All believers will obviously inherit salvation and everything that comes with that. That's a given. That's a borderline. Everybody, a believer in Jesus Christ who believes by faith alone in Christ alone, is going to heaven. Now you need to start to make yourself different. And you're doing that. You're in it. You're in the relationship. You're on the grind. Your boots on the ground. You're growing in a relationship, and you're seeing these things come together. And it's an application. It's an application that we have to make in whatever difficulty we find ourselves in. So, I think that's a legitimate question we need to ask. But from these verses, we know that volition is involved, and we mentioned that inheritance is related to suffering, testing, trials, testing of your faith, endurance, overcoming, which all require you to take part in freely. No one's going to push you. God isn't going to make you. He doesn't want to make you. That's not who He is as a loving God. He wants you to freely choose to worship, to serve, and to sacrifice. That's what this is all about. Ladies and gentlemen, sacrifice. Where are we at in that ball game? You were different than you are now. I understand that. But we all have a long way to go because we've got to look at the example that we have, who set the road, who paved the way, Jesus Christ. He paved the way. And I'll be the first one to tell you that I have a long ways to go, just like you have a long ways to go. But guess what? God gave us the time. He gave us the word. He gave us the knowledge and the scripture and everything that we need to go to the place that he wants us to be. And that's grace. That's the grace aspect of God. That so not only is he going to allow you to suffer, he's going to allow you to do it in joy, in realizing that you're suffering not just without any purpose at all, but with a definite, serious purpose, that God is going to drop some blessings your way. See, that's the things we have to look forward to, not relying on ourselves, not saying I'm going to take on this life and I'm going to do this, all these good things because I'm just a saint. No, you're going to take it on because God is empowering you to do that through the Holy Spirit. There's nothing we can do for it. And that's why he's so glorified. He just loves when you use him, when you pay him attention, when you go to him in prayer, when you acknowledge that he's there. Every step of the way, it's acknowledging, it's a mental process. See, love involves thought. And a thinking process is what this is all about. How much is he on your mind? Every day, I can guarantee it. And it should be most of the day, if not all of the day. Because that's the only thing that keeps us in a place where we want to be. That's it. It's the only thing. It keeps you safe, keeps you from harm and evil, keeps you growing, it protects you, everything. And that's truth. That is actually truth flowing through your soul that you're thinking with. It's a relationship. Not only can you speak in prayer, but you can think with the exact thought process as Christ on this earth. There's nothing else like it. And a lot of people don't know that and they don't realize that, but they need to. We need to explain that maybe. And we'll come to a verse that says you should not only just know what you know, but you have to be ready to give this information out if it becomes you're in a situation where maybe someone has a little bit of interest. You know, that's a process. It's a process to watch someone and have the patience to let them get to the point where they're interested. Sometimes that takes a while, but the love relationship that you have with Christ will allow you to wait. And when they get to that point where they are interested, it may come in the form of not really a direct question, but you can tell if someone's interested because they'll start to get around, well, what are you, how do you, where are you, you know, what's underneath all that? You know, how are you getting through? How did you, you know, what? Well, I sure didn't do it. That's the first place we should start. It has not much to do with me except wanting to go to the trough and drink the water. That's it. That's all I do is go there and eat food, spiritual food. So that's where we need to start, is from the ground and just work our way up and help people understand that there's not really much that is required of you except a positive volition decision to grow in grace and knowledge of God. Just get to know him. Don't start off running out of the gates and running and holding flags and I'm a Christian, I love the Lord. Start off with a relationship, getting to know him. That stuff will come later. All y'all are probably qualified to run with a banner all down the road and say, I love the Lord Jesus Christ. That's fine because it has meaning to you. I realize that. But there's a lot of people, there's no meaning to that to them, but they do it anyways. And I guess, you know, I guess that's okay. But we know that there's meaning, there's purpose, there's understanding that goes with that. There's got to be. So now you can understand, I think, that we've been talking about inheritance, and we can see how much sense it makes now for us to be thankful. Didn't our verse say that? To be thankful? Instead of all these other things, silly talk, coarse jesting, be thankful. And then we got to verse 5 that talked about our inheritance. That's huge. For the ability to know in your mind, to be able to think in such a way that glorifies Him. Because remember, in verse 4, Paul told the Ephesians that filthiness, silly talk, coarse jesting, and are not fitting, but rather give thanks. Rather give thanks. Thanks for what? That's a little confusing. Well, we've been talking about it. Thankful that you know and understand what is required of you. What is required of you for a greater inheritance? That gives me thanksgiving that we know that. That's almost like beating the system. You just found something out and you can grow in grace and knowledge and get a greater inheritance. If people truly knew this, they would be on board. You would think, right? And these verses are simply showing the Ephesians and us, I think, the black and white difference between serving oneself and the world, which is all, by the way, temporary pleasures, versus persevering in the faith and serving God. I think that's what the difference is in these verses. And we have pleasures and blessings that are permanent and will never fade away. It's a trick. See, people have been duped to serving something that fades, something that is temporary, something that is fleeting, but you're locked in to the permanent blessing that isn't going anywhere. It's just a matter of doing, continuing to do what you do as a Christian and a growing believer. And that's why the subject we saw of Christian properness and doing what is fitting came up. All of this comes into play in this inheritance. We've got to know what to do, how to do it, and why to do it before we can get on board with any of this. So, and I think that is a good place to stop. I can see the donut glaze starting to fill up in the eyeballs. So we'll go ahead and stop there. So it gets a little hazy, I can see. You know, you ever seen dog with cataracts? That's kind of what y'all are starting to look like. Glazy. So let's go ahead and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for Your Word. Thank You for the ability to understand it, to know it, to grow in it, and just go from zero to just realizing that we have so much more and so much available through Jesus Christ. You gave Him to us for that reason, not only to start with our salvation, but to continue to grow in this love relationship that we so deeply cherish and are thankful for. We thank You for Jesus Christ. Thank You for that gift. And to anyone who has ever wondered or curious about how can I be involved in all these things that we've been talking about, He offered it simply by belief, faith alone in Jesus Christ alone. That's it. The scripture says, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. And we thank You for that, that Your grace is so greater than anything we could ever do. We ask these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.